Forever.
Hey,
that singed.
Yikes. Oh, it singed the end right off your fringe.
Better get a pool shoe. It's hot
it
out here.
It singed your fringe.
Singed your fringe.
Welcome back for yet another steaming
piping,
scalding serving of
hot god.
This, of course, is our weekly bird conservation chat show where we talk about events in our lives, issues in politics, and take a deep dive into the DMs. Ooh. So let's do it. Let's get into some.
Hot goose.
Hot goose.
Hey, we want to give you a note from Network Brass. They sent it down last night.
They CC'd
our managers. It's very serious. They said there was a glitch on Wednesday's episode, not to be confused with Twitch, another platform entirely. We thank you for all of the messages and fix the issue as fast as we could. And no, you don't need new Wi-Fi or headphones or Bluetooth or anything like that. It was a tech issue on our end.
Sometimes we just want to make sure that the listeners are on their toes. Mm-hmm. That's all. We just want to make sure that quality control is, the network of quality control is still fully intact.
Girl, checks and balances. And by that, I mean, write me a check and I'll balance on it.
So here, right. So we yet again have an amazing listenership who are dedicated, who let us know right away that there was an issue
with
the episode.
In no uncertain terms, it was unlistenable trash.
I mean, people say that when there's no audio issues, but no, we thank you so much and do not adjust your headset.
Don't do it.
This is a test of the emergency podcast system. We have a really special interview.
So many exciting things on TV right now. What are you looking forward to watching?
I'm looking forward to watching Canada's Drag Race.
Me too, but I feel like, I don't know, what if I don't understand and I need like someone to help me break it down or really get to the gist of it? Like, what could I do? Like, who would I listen to?
I have a feeling there's a podcast for you on the Moguls of Media Mom Network.
Oh, so just ask Mom. Okay.
Just ask Mom. She will. Mama will provide.
Mm-hmm. Mama does.
She will. Yes, there is a brand new podcast right here on the Mom Network.
Is that The Chop?
It's called The Chop.
Oh,
yes,
see,
Tina.
See, I saw it in all big letters, and I was just like, I'm getting fired from something else. I don't know.
It is not a new menu on the salad, in the salad section of the menu. I'd like to order the chop, please. The wedge. That'll be the next podcast on our network. It'll be The Wedge.
I'm down.
This is an exciting new podcast. But with hosts Manila Luzon and Latrice Royale, they'll be talking all about Canada's Drag Race. We might be popping in from time to time. I don't know.
I mean, we gave them music. I mean,
yeah. And so just to like kick it off, we have via Zoom, we're going to be have special guests today. Please welcome to your earbuds the newest members of the Mom family and iconic divas of drag. Manila Luzon and Latrice Royale. How's it going, divas?
The divas are here.
Oh, my God.
Girl, hi. I'm so excited for the next gig for you guys.
Y'all are too much. This is way above and beyond, so thank you very much for having us.
We hope you like the assorted pastry and the chocolate fondant fountain.
Fondant.
We love your glorious drag. This is a 613 with a teal or turquoise accent. Lady Turquoise.
You see that? You see that?
Yes. Turquoise. And Manila, I love your unit as well.
Yeah.
One B, right? With a 613 streak.
Yes, for sure. All yes. Human hair.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
I'm glad you're not outsourcing that to Nutrias anymore. They're good for braiding, but not for the fine stuff. Now, you two ladies have the distinction of having competed on more seasons of Drag Race than anybody else I know, I think, together, right? It's something like 12 times, 14 times?
Damn.
I think like it was 12 and a half times, technically.
Oh, yeah. Naomi got you on that last one. I remember.
She cool.
Yeah, she's a nice lady.
She's so sweetheart.
I want to talk about the chop and Canada's Drag Race, because you two are going to be the head women of the podcast that's discussing
head mistresses.
I love women being head.
Mm-hmm. Well,
head anything.
I'm excited for Canada's Drag Race. I think it's going to be a really, really fun thing. And Latrice and I, we already started our first episode where we went over the cast and the Meet the Queens, and we're really excited for this new season of Drag Race, because it's going to be, you know, because it's like a new take on something that's super familiar, you know.
Yeah. With our friend hosting it.
Yeah. And like having Brooklyn there and really like just showcasing, like, you know, the bitch represent for the bitches who have been through it, who have walked through the fire. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think it's going
to
add
fire.
A
fire.
Okay.
Human units all around.
Yes. But yeah, I think that it's going to be great. It's going to be a great way to have that balance and actually some great insight on these challenges that are so crazy they're going to have to, you know, subject themselves to. But I'm excited for it. Yeah.
So wait, okay. You said you did the first episode. Is the first episode out? Like,
we just did the Meet the Queens, like the first impressions, the first looks. Yeah, first looks.
So
yeah.
Is that podcast episode out right now?
It is.
Like right at this moment.
Right now.
Actually,
you should stop listening to this one right now and go listen
and
to ours.
And go listen to ours right
you
now.
You can go sit alone in the VIP, bitch.
Sitting alone. Bitch. Now, oh my God. So wait, have y'all done podcasts before?
I've been a guest on your podcast, and I've been guests on several other podcasts, but this is new territory for the both of us.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. You remember that.
Yeah, sickening.
No, I meant hosting. Yes, of course.
Latrice usually travels with the whole bus. She'll host.
Trust.
Now, yeah. Latrice, you just moved into a house in Florida. Has the quarantine been like good with helping you set up? I see all this jewelry behind me displayed elegantly on sheet metal. All your magnet jewelry. It looks like a patterned wallpaper of brocade and just jewels. It's so pretty.
Brocade or brocade?
Brocade.
No, it's been actually really great, because like, we got this house just in the nick of time, because had we been quarantined in another house, bitch, it would not be this fabulous. Uh-huh. I'll tell you that. But we got rooms and ceilings and height and all that kind of stuff to really like do whatever much we pretty much want to do.
The fish are happy
most of the time. We try to give them a little love, but that's all that we got is fish, because we ain't got no pets.
Plants. My husband and I have plants.
See, we have plants too. We have lots of plants.
I saw those plants that you painted of your husband, Manila.
Oh,
those rolling hills
and trees and log cabins. Yes.
Girl, get into nature. I sure would.
And fences and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I did a painting of a Bob Ross landscape, but if you look at it in a certain angle, it actually just looks like a naked body with a big old dick just flopping to the side there. Yeah.
I got in trouble for that in art class in high school.
You drew a penis?
No, I was drawing a gourd and a gravy boat, like a still life. And because I had done controversial art pieces in the past, the teacher assumed that I did this on purpose, which I did not.
So
but she was like, "What is this?" And it was like, my picture of the gourd and the gravy bow. And she was like, this is obscene. And you're in trouble for this. So
how old were you?
I must have been, I don't know, 17.
Oh, you knew what you were doing.
She knew. Yeah, she kind of knew what she
did. I did. I would have owned up to it. I would have said, yes, this is, I meant to make it look like a dick, but it was just an accident that one time.
Well, to be honest, like, the one of the reasons why I really, like, pursued art was because that was my own form of pornography. Because, you know, that's before the internet, girl. Yeah, draw your own, draw your own nudes.
Manga or hentai. anime porn, your other
anime
drag name.
Anime porn.
Oh, wow. That was put it in the book.
So wait, speaking of like anime, I just watched the music video for Robbed, which is
like that?
It was thrilling to me.
Did you
because...
draw all that?
No, girl, I did not draw all that.
Oh, I thought you were drawing it because you were doing comic books too. I was like, that she's so good.
No, I hired some amazing illustrators and animators to create that for me. I mean, the thing about it was that, like, I wanted my video to kind of be this epic adventure, and I was like, there's like a bank heist, we went to a museum, right. Like, we're going on car chases, multiple car chases, and honestly, you know, like, we all want to make awesome music videos, but we got a budget, so...
Yeah. Just draw it.
Yeah, so just draw it. Also, the fact is that, like, Latrice and I live on separate sides of the country, so for us to get together to film a music video is very difficult. I mean, it was hard enough just to get her into the studio to record her part of the song. So this
She's
is
a busy
great.
Woman.
It took a whole year.
It did.
And it came out, and it just came out now because it takes a long time to animate.
It was it was really thrilling because I'm like, I grew up watching like cartoons, like I'm like X-Men and like even like I got kind of into like Digimon and Pokemon or whatever. But like this was really like scratching an itch for me because it was like drag, which I love so much, and like action cartoons. Yeah. And it was like, it's really fucking sickening and amazingly done.
Yeah, and also that the reason why I wanted to do a cartoon is because I wanted Latrice and I to be, like, badass. And now everyone knows us, and you know, they think that we're so lovable and we're so sweet. And so to see us, like, playing these characters, it makes it easier to, like, watch it us as cartoons, you know? And we can play the villains, and it can kind of be, like, Harley Quinn from Birds of Prey or that kind of vibe where you're kind of, like, rooting for the villain. And, you know... I love all the villains, you know, I like Maleficent, I love Ursula, I love Jafar, more so than the main characters, so this was like a perfect opportunity to kind of like, you know, just be the bad guy.
Well done, Manila. I'm so proud, and I'm glad to be a part of this. This is really cute. We look sick.
Thank you. Thank
and
you.
It's
thank
the only, you. It's the only gig most of us will have in a while is on the internet, right?
Yeah. Oh. True.
For sure.
Are you guys doing digital shows and gigs and things?
Here and there, yeah. We are trying to stay creative and be a part of, like, make art for ourselves as well as be a part of, like, some causes, you know? Mm-hmm. In fact, I just released, we did this song called Tomorrow from Marisha Wallace.
Oh, I love her from Waitress.
Yeah. Okay, so you know her, she's the West End.
I'm friends
Broadway.
With her. She sang at the wedding of my friend Michael James Scott, who was the genie in Aladdin, and Jeremy, my friend from
Voila. Well, her. She did an amazing version.
Amazing.
She did an amazing version of it. So we got together, did a little feel good, whatever. And it was really cute. And then, like, we just been like, you know, I've created my own thing, like, for women, just for the social cause, because right now, you know, everything is just like crazy with the whole racism and Black Lives Matter and all those causes. So I had to, you know, drop some weight on them and let them know, you know, where these strong women come from and the roots of all of this that we're going through is just history repeating. So
your four women thing was really great too.
Thank you. Thank you.
I like peaches. Yep.
We were okay. So did Lettucey. I was like, oh, come on, Lettucey.
I know, that was great.
I love her. But yeah, we do this all right here at the house. And so, you know, you got to do what you can do.
Nice.
No.
Well, there's a lot of drag on TV right now, and this is the first time I think we have overlapping franchises because we're going to have All Stars and Canada.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
How long are they going to overlap? We should know this. We're podcasters, huh?
Well,
I think like four or five weeks.
Oh, yeah. Damn. Double dose. And Untucks. That's going to be like 5 hours of drag a week. It's going to be a lot of shit to talk.
A lot of shit talk. Yeah.
But honestly,
we do it anyway.
Usually we would be like overload of Drag Race, but because we're on quarantine, it's just like a constant feed of Drag Race. And honestly, like with all the binging we're doing these recent months, like it's kind of nice to just always have another episode of Drag Race show up on TV. And it's just like week after week after week. And so I'm actually loving it. Like usually I would be like, okay, I'm sick of it. But like now, because there's nothing else to do, it's something I can look forward
to. More, please.
Yes, more, please. And after Canada's Drag Race is done, they better put on Mexico's Drag Race.
Please. Yes.
Greenland's Drag Race.
Greenland.
Greenland.
Drag Race.
I'm here for it, too.
What's the last thing that you binged on TV-wise?
Me?
Yeah.
Okay, oh my God. You know what? I'm late to the party, but Dynasty, bitch.
The new one or the old one?
The new one on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
Bitch.
Oh, my God. Raphael.
Mm-hmm. Mrs. Thingbox. When I tell you these bitches have me up at 5 and 6 in the morning, binging, looking at them, and I'm getting some fashion inspiration too, bitch. Right? Wait till you see me coming. You're going to be like, look at Black Alexis.
Damn.
Looking like a Buick. Bitch, yes, ma'am.
Escalade,
trust. But I am loving Dynasty. I have been in it. So I'm trying to catch up.
What about you, Manila?
I'm watching on Netflix, I'm watching Glow, the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
Oh,
and I'm loving it. You know, it reminds me of drag, because these female wrestlers, they have their own like personas and they have their own characters, and then they come into the ring and they have like their own like drama that's happening there. It actually kind of reminds me of the season 4 wrestling challenge.
Girl, I was there.
It is totally that.
Yeah, which I still think is one of the best challenges ever on Drag Race. So.
The Glow girls have a drag queen on next season too. When they're in Vegas, I'm pretty sure, because I looked them up.
Oh yeah.
I was Bitter Boots.
Did you read for it, Willem?
No, I didn't. But this guy named Kevin Calhoun, who also got a role in Taboo. He was the part I read for in that, and I thought closer. But like, girl, 15 years later, I was like, why do I know this name? I put it in my little journal, looked it up. I was like, that bitch. 15 and a half years later, she's still getting me. So
yes, and
good
she does,
on you, Kevin.
And when she appears, she actually is doing an impersonation of Barbara Streisand in that first episode. So I was already in love. You know, actually, my first ever introduction to Barbara Streisand was through that I remember was through a female
Robin
impersonator.
Williams.
No, well, maybe
when he does Mrs. Doubtfire, he does Papa Can You Hear Me?
No, it was an episode of the Carney Wilson show that was playing at 2 a.m. one day on TV, they had the guest. His name is Eddie Edwards, and he is a Barbara Streisand impersonator, impersonator, and he actually sings like Barbara Streisand, and then he has a twin brother who. Sings like Neil Diamond, so the two of them performed "You Don't Bring Me Flowers" on the Carney Wilson show, and that was my introduction to Barbara Streisand, and that's how I became a huge Barbara Streisand fan.
Damn,
was watching Eddie Edwards impersonating her.
Damn.
Wow. That's amazing, and it explains a lot. So have you? So I mean, I assume you've been watching All Stars 5, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What do you think of like the lip sync assassin, the group voting every time?
You got the new syllabus with the rule book, right? They sent it out to you.
Right. Yeah. That's
the guy. The
guy what?
The make up the rules as you go along. Yeah, I got that memo.
What do you think of it? How is it striking you?
Well, I like the idea of everyone voting for who goes off. Because yeah. it kind of has that like Survivor or that Big Brother vibe to it.
Yes.
So like it's not just like you're not relying on just a one person to like, you know. So in a way it's like different, and I think that with All Stars they still haven't found like the best way to do All Stars yet. They started out with partners.
Well, they'll bring me eventually. Don't worry.
Oh, Willem, you were on All Stars Untalked. That
I know. I saw you there. I saw you there too.
Yeah.
And you were no, you weren't there. Never mind.
No, didn't I say as you were leaving that that Untucked episode, I was like, I'll see you on CSI. And then shortly after, you actually got a role on CSI.
Oh, yeah, and God. Honestly, yes, that is 100% true. I think it was you, Manila.
Mm-hmm. Her clairvoyant.
We would like everybody listening to go and subscribe to The Chop with Latrice and Manila wherever you get this podcast, because they're our friends and they're on the same network as us.
Whoop, whoop. Whoa, yeah, whoa. Please do that. We really, really appreciate the fact that you, Alaska, and you, Willem, and Big Tipper, you all invited us to do this. It's actually really cool. And you know what? Like, we are just here at home, so we plug in our microphones and let's just shoot some shit.
Let's shoot some shit, and who better to shoot shit with than Manila? I mean, she's the biggest shit talker I know, so I was like, this is a no-brainer.
Yeah. Yeah, literally, it's totally iconic.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited. Like, we just did this short interview, and I am laughing really, really hard, and I can't wait to listen to your podcast. And I'm really excited. So thank you both so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you. We love you both.
See you on Monday.
And we love you too.
And maybe we'll have you as a guest.
Please. Yeah. Okay. Oh my gosh. Classy divas. Classy divas.
Classy divas all around.
Latrice and Manila, we thank you so much for joining us today and joining the Mom Network.
Yeah, and you can join them every Monday. So do that. If there's any complaints, let us know. If they show up in
girl, they will.
If they show up in wrinkled and shoddy gowns, remember that one from Houston?
Soiled
and rumpled gowns. Oh my God, there's a story. Everybody asked Manila about the incident with the soiled and the rumpled gowns where a promoter tried to get money back because he said their dresses were wrinkled.
Girl.
And he's like, my local queens, they were pressed. Ironed.
Their gowns were pressed, yes. Yeah. Now, speaking of not soiled and not rumpled, something very exciting is happening in the showbiz world. Anyone a fan of Noah's Ark?
Me. I watched every episode.
Amazing. This is from Deadline. It says Noah, Alex, Ricky, and Chance are back. After 12 years, the cast of the groundbreaking ahead of its time LGBTQ drama Noah's Ark, created by Patrick Ian Polk, is reuniting for a 15th anniversary virtual reunion special which will stream on July 5th at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on Patrick Ian Polk Entertainment's Facebook and YouTube pages.
Work.
This is great.
Yeah, the OG cast, Daryl Stevens, Jensen Atwood, Roddy Chester, Doug Spearman, and Christian Vincent are set to return for the reunion titled Noah's Ark, The Rona Chronicles, which speaks to the current landscape.
And
the
script,
the whole thing is going to be followed up by a live Q&A with Karamo Brown from Queer Eye. Sunday.
Is it a new episode that they've written?
It's an update, I think, of all the characters that we love from there during the Rona Chronicles. Which I think is cool. What a great way to advance that show, because we've all been waiting for more for them.
So fierce and really exciting. That's happening on Sunday, July 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern.
And we're going to link that on our Instagram page. So if you want more information, just go there. Do a little
reminder.
And
it's in the podcast description, right?
In your ears. That's cool. Oh, it's like written in the thing, like what we talk about each week?
I think. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I don't know.
Sometimes I put pertinent information in there.
That would be a great drag king name, Bertinent. Bertinent.
Okay.
Robert.
Put that in the file.
Yeah.
Put that in the file. There's a lot of really great music going on right now.
Oh, Sitting Alone in the VIP. Thin White Lady, Blair St. Clair. That is the jam this week. It is the jam.
Well, thank you.
It is almost jelly. It's been so jammed into my ears. I love it. But
I do recommend getting into that one on iTunes. You can download it.
The video's cute too.
There's a really exciting song by Monet Exchange, which is out right now. And she was my teammate on the Spelling Bee live stream.
I remember that.
I think we may not have won the cash prize, but we were the supreme spelling house of the night. So.
Oh, okay. So it's like, I get it. I saw season 9. I understand where you're coming from. My team won, though. So bow down. And
you can cling to that.
Okay. Yeah. I will.
We all know the truth. We all saw the whole live stream. Well, so, I just... Anyway, mm-hmm.
Yeah, so March is this awesome song that Monet has. It does not reflect her work in the Spelling Bee. It's much, much better.
She was amazing in the Spelling Bee, and she's a really good speller. And she's a grand champion from Spelling Bees
second, third, and fourth grade. But she definitely got a word wrong. I definitely got 3 words wrong, I think. I wasn't much better. But yeah, this song is a lot better than any of my spelling for sure then.
The song is really great, and we're going to play you a little bit of it right now, and it's called March.
We're not asking for charity. We just want some equality. Where's your sense of humanity? Stand up in solidarity. No more police brutality. Time to stop that mentality. Keep your stupid apologies. Much too late for formalities. March, march. Feel the beat in your heart. March, march. Everyone do your part. March, march. This is just the start. March, march. Feel the pride in your heart. March, march. March, march. We don't need another war. We don't need another war. Another body on the floor. On the floor. Is this what we're living for? Fist up to the sky. Keep your head high, full of pride. March, march. Feel the beat in your heart. March, march. Everyone do your part.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time.
The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it?
That's tea. I don't know how I would spend my time. I'd probably get ample sleep, have ample time to sit and do nothing. I love that hobby.
Yeah.
And then time to spend with my family, my friends, my loved ones. And, you know, doing stuff that I love.
I always listen to the end of the Hamilton soundtrack, and they have that song about time, and it makes me, like, cognizant that, like, life is finite, and you should, like, try to appreciate it and then take downtime and stuff. But the best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you, and then you make that a priority no matter what.
That's right. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And one of my friends did it, and she really liked it, too.
That's right. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/drag. Today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drag.
Do you love anime, gaming, movies, and discovering how your favorite pop culture affects everything you do? Then join us on Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. I'm Nick Friedman.
I'm Lee Alec Murray.
And I'm Leah President. Every week, you can listen in while we break down the latest pop culture news and dish on what new releases we can't get enough of.
Whether you love movies, I'm going to tell you all about the hopeful 4K re-release of Tron Legacy that happens.
I'm right there with you. Or music. The music in this show is absolutely incredible.
Or anime.
Yeah. And under this mask is another mask.
You can discover your new favorites right here on The Anime Effect.
Listen every Friday wherever you get your podcasts and watch full video episodes on Crunchyroll or on the Crunchyroll YouTube channel.
With a voice coach, so
I got a pitch pipe.
I'm ready for this. Girl, you got some kind of pipe. I don't think it's a pitch pipe though.
Okay.
Okay. All right. This is a segment that we like to call
"Let's Get Political." Ooh. Political.
Doing this is
our first. We have a letter from Javier. Hola, Alaska Lita, Willem Masita, and Big Dipper Cito. I am a 28-year-old dreamer, and I wanted to provide some insight into what DACA is and why that and the recent Supreme Court decisions are important. DACA is deferred action for childhood arrivals. I apologize for the long message in advance. In 2012, President Obama issued the DACA executive order after the DREAM Act, which would have granted legal status to certain undocumented immigrants that were brought to the U.S. as children and went to school in America, failed to pass in Congress several times. The bill was introduced in Congress since 2001, so you can see why the executive order was needed. For those of us... Oh, wait. So that meant it went like 11 years without being passed. Shit. Okay. For those of us... I had to do the math. Sorry, Javier. For those of us that were lucky enough to qualify, we were brought to the United States as children and only know the United States. Our countries of birth are foreign to us. Many of us are not aware we were undocumented until high school when driver's licenses, after-school jobs, and college financial aid applications are in the picture. I, for example, didn't know I was undocumented until I wanted to get my driver's license like my friends, and my parents informed me I was not like them and could not get one. DACA gave us work permits to legally work in the U.S., eligibility for state college tuition, a driver's license, and most importantly, we got to not get deported. The requirements for DACA is that you were under 31 when the executive order was signed in June 2012. You arrived in the U.S. before your 16th birthday. You lived continuously in the U.S. from 2007 until present. You are currently studying or graduated from high school. You have not been convicted of a felony or certain misdemeanors, including a single DUI. DACA is only granted for 2 years, which means that every 2 years, we must submit a renewal application and the $495 application fee. We must also undergo a background check and go to a biometric appointment where our fingerprints are scanned.
Okay.
In 2012, I knew none of this. In 2012,
I know
Trump,
this is really good information.
In 2017, Trump ordered an end to DACA, which meant that all roughly 700,000 of us would be eligible for deportation and would lose access to education and employment. Lawsuits were then filed, which pushed this all the way to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court decided that the way Trump ended the program was reckless and unreasonable, which means that DACA gets to survive for now. Oh, yay. When Trump ended DACA, they were no longer accepting any new application, which means that for 3 years, those that were eligible to apply could not do so. The Supreme Court's decision says the program should be reset to its original mandate in 2012, and new applications must be accepted. Yay. Although this is a victory, the Trump administration can pursue other avenues to end the program, so we must push for better immigration reform. We must continue to push for a just citizen path for Dreamers because renewing every 2 years and paying almost $500 each time is not cute. Additionally, Dreamers cannot leave the country since living continuously is a requirement. I, for example, have not seen my grandparents or the entire family on my dad's side in 26 years because I can't go back to Mexico to visit since I won't be allowed back in the U.S. Thank you for keeping the Let's Get Political segment. We need it more than ever. Apologies for the lack of dick pic, but my digital history has to be clean in the miracle that I get to apply for citizenship. God damn. Wow. I have included a link where people can donate for DACA renewal fund because many cannot afford the $495 needed every 2 years. www.dacarenewalfund.com. With much love, Javier. Wow.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, thank you, Javier, because this is like this is important information. I mean, I've been hearing about Dreamers and DACA in the news, but not fully understanding like what the details of that are.
So even if you're here, you're paying $2,500 every decade to live here if you're in DACA, basically, if it's every 2 years.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money. And it's not like they chose to live here. This is just where they were born or their parents brought them. Like, they're being charged to live in the country.
Right. Yes. I mean, essentially. Wow. And I mean, it's so...
If America was a party, I would be like, let's leave. This is fucked up.
Exactly.
I'd be like, let's like, just go.
And the fact that, like, the man in the White House now just was like, yeah, let's go ahead and like get rid of this thing. I mean, this was a thing. Yes, there are changes that need to be made, but it was a thing like protecting people that are Americans. They were born here. Like, they don't know anything else other than, right?
It's not, if they're born here, they have citizenship. So a lot of these Dreamers were brought here with their family when they were young, and so young that they don't actually have
any knowledge
of the country where they were born. So
right.
People get deported if they were born in Mexico, and they get deported.
Like, where are they supposed to go?
Exactly.
So, like, these are people who are, like, going to school and, like, doing their part to be good fucking citizens.
And paying taxes. A lot of taxes.
Paying fucking taxes! So, I mean, I'm glad that there's, like, a little bit of intelligence in the Supreme Court, because they are sort of a last defense against, like,
the criminal actions of our president.
Yes.
Honestly, so like, he's just dismantling people's rights. He tried to sneak it in for the gays too, again, twice this month after like the Supreme Court was like, no. He tried to take away adoption and then transgender workplace protections. And being fired for your gender and all that stuff too, I think.
Yeah. So like, I'm glad that like at least the handful of people sitting on the Supreme Court are at least like they have some kind of like interest in like actual justice. I'm glad for that, because this fucking administration has no interest in that. So let's go ahead and share the link for DACAReNewalFund.com. And, you know, we're always looking for good causes to keep the money moving toward them. So, like, let's do our part and, like, let's share that and let's, like, donate to that. Because, I mean, $495 every 2 years, that like adds up just to stay in the country.
Yeah. I love docking, so I love DACA too. I'll go for that. I'll try.
Docking.
This says DACA eligible workers contribute $1.4 billion in federal taxes, $2 billion in Social Security, and $470 million in Medicare each year.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, Gorge. Yeah.
We need a new president. I hope everybody's voting. You get a sticker if you do. It's awesome.
Yeah, we got to get him out. We got to get everybody who's like loyal, who's been loyal to him and who's been sucking from that fucking hateful.
Tainted teat.
Tainted teat. Like that alliteration.
Thank you so much. There's like four T's in that.
We thank you so much for joining us on Let's Get Political.
We do. And do people like skip ahead and not do the political segment?
No way.
I hope not.
No way.
They press play when we started the episode, so they're watching along.
Okay. Let's take a break.
Yeah, let's do that. The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is.
With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
You've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore?
Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Stars and the Stars app. Oh, what is that?
It's a lizard. It was a lizard.
Oh, it was a lizard. The
a night lizard
is eating the night lizard.
She slurped it up its tail. It's gone. All gone.
The California condor can see in the dark.
California condor, continental prelim.
Is Angela gonna run?
Yeah. Uh huh. No, she's former. She's given up.
This is a segment that we call Spelunking. Deep into the DMs.
Deep, very deep in the DMs.
This first message is from Alexa.
Alexa.
I just like firing off everyone's in-home listening devices. Alexa,
Alexa,
turn all the lights blue.
Alexa, make
Alexa.
My pussy pink.
Alexa, play Sitting Alone in the VIP by Alaska and Candy Muse. I'm sorry, I'm not getting any results for amusement parks nearby. Okay, here we go.
Hey, Alaska,
Sorry. I want to read it.
Go for it.
Did you read the last thing?
Yeah, I'm getting my snack right now. Girl, I'm getting my snack.
Okay. Hey, Alak, Will Am, and Dippity Doo. First off, huge friend of the pod. I love you beauties, and I discovered Drag Race during a really tough time in my life. Long story short, you two help me every week more than you know. I love you. All right, let's go. Alaska, please read that in your reading challenge voice. Thanks. All right, let's go. Please help. I'm a black woman, age 23, with a super cute white 20-year-old boyfriend whom I care for very much. We have a lot in common and share beautiful weirdo vibes daily. But there's an issue. He does not watch the news and refuses to unless I send him a link to a short national news recap. And he says he doesn't mind Trump. I have tried to explain to him why Trump is wrong and why it's so important to vote. But whenever I try, he gets weird and things become awkward. What do I do? Much love from an Ohio girl living in Tennessee. Alexa. P.S. I've attached a pic of my tits/body because they look good. Yes, I do OnlyFans.
Damn, wow. I'm a fan.
I am only a fan.
All the curves and swerves in the right spots.
So stunning.
And she's got many, many, many sweet spots. Gorgeous.
Put it to the sweet spot. Sweet spot.
100%. And symmetrical, too.
I love it with
you. The symmetry
is
there.
I mean, just turning it, I mean,
you can see
excellent.
All the way to the bottom of her belly button, like no little like fold right there. How like I have one. She's beautiful.
Whenever anyone talks about Alexa, like the in-home assistant device, I'm going to think of her having breasts
this
like this.
For
because
sure.
These are like outstanding. So what do you think? I want to know your answer to this and then I'll give mine.
If the dick ain't Democrat, I ain't doing it. I can't fuck stupid.
Whip crack.
Right now, I can't. Like, yeah, I just can't. Because, like, I'm like, uh-uh. No, 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 no. I can't.
Well, because it's beyond stupid at this point. I mean, I can go back in time to 2016 in my mind and understand why people were like, you know what? He says he likes gays. Maybe he's going to shake things up. He says he's going to drain the swamp. So, that
I never knew what that meant.
I can kind of, it means he's gonna get out that he said it means I'm gonna get out all the trash out of Washington, D.C. because there's plenty of trash. However, after 4 years, just as I thought, he's trash. So it is no longer just stupid, it is hateful and it's harmful to us and our community. And a lot of communities. So it's no longer just, who knows? Maybe we'll see how it turns out. We know how it turned out. This motherfucker is hateful and harmful and trying to fucking hurt us and you, Alexa, and a lot of people. This guy does not deserve your fucking loving. Get him out. Pack his raincoat. Show him out. Just look him in the eye and simply shout. Enough is enough.
Can't go on.
Sorry. I mean, I feel like we're on Straight Talk right now. We're Dolly Parton giving out advice. Hello. I mean, we're telling
I'm Burt Reynolds now?
We're telling...
Oh, you said we. We're.
That was a different movie. James Woods.
Oh, he's Republican too.
No!
Old Hades' hateful ass. See, I like Hades now that Cheyenne Jackson plays him better. That's better.
I'll work.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you 100%. We're going to talk to Irvin now. Irvin says, hello.
Irvin.
It's been a little while since you asked a question about why people leave their balls out of dick pics, and I thought I could share my thoughts on it. I don't like my balls that much. It's not something I have huge issues with. It's just when they look that... I just don't think they look that good. When I get hard, my sack kind of shrivels up, hence the angle of the first pic. Oh, there's pics. And only when it's really hot outside, my balls will hang, like the second pic. Even though they don't hang that low in that pic. So getting a pic of my junk with my balls present for the event is hard because I won't think it looks as good. It's not something we thought about the other with people's bits. But on me, I often think it looks weird. I'm positive there are equally as many guys who are unhappy with their balls as there are guys who are unhappy with their dick. Whether the problem is they think it hangs too low, doesn't hang low enough, they're too big, too small, too uneven, the skin is darker, lighter, doesn't match. Okay. He's got problems.
What's the problem?
Irvin, he's gorgeous, and his balls are gorgeous and hairless, and everything about him is perfect. Oh my God. What is he talking about?
He's on the floor of a bathroom that has carpet. Carpeted bathroom.
It could be a bathroom.
It's
just
rarely a thrilling moment. Yes, I mean, this looks great.
The member is shorn, but the bush is present. He's got,
I guess,
cum gutters, a flat peck, two nipples, one belly button. Okay, thank you so much, Irvin.
Well, I think it's comforting, and this forum is helpful to people because it's comforting
probably
to know.
On my bathroom carpet, too.
Is... in your bathroom carpet. I bet it's comforting. No, I know that it's comforting to know that, like, even someone...
You know comfort. You're on all form. Couches and helix. Matrez.
I think it's comforting to know that, like, everyone has insecurities, especially when it comes to, like, genital things, because these are things that, like, they're sort of, like, private, and they're hidden throughout, like, all the hours of the day. I mean, except for you, Willem.
My private parts are called public parts.
Right. They're mostly
my private parts are public parks.
Yeah. they're in phase two.
City of L.A. County comes by to spray them down.
So, look, we're telling you, Irvin, not that it matters what our opinion is, but we think your balls are stunning, mm-hmm. and they look great. So, just if that improves your ball self-esteem, then great.
I mean, he knows his angle, too. Look, he's kneeling on the floor with his legs spread at a 90-degree angle towards the camera, which is probably leaning against the trash can or the wall on the floor, and it's pointing up. This is how to make cuts appear that you don't know are there. The lighting is from the side, so you're highlighting, like, part of your ab. It's perfect. This is good lighting, too.
Irvin's balls.
Thank you.
This is not Irvin's first floor rodeo.
Irvin's balls. It is clear that you know your angles, but you're always doing 45 degrees. Can we ever get front on?
Can you do it from front on? Not many girls can have a career in 3/4. I have one photo in my hand. If your balls are not in this photo,
dick pic in
you
my...
will be castrated. Okay. And sent home on a plane.
The next...
Jet blue.
The next message is from Olivia. Okay, hello, Alaska Willem and Big Dipper, smiley face. My name is Liv from Philly. come visit sometime. My question for you is, why do you think people still refuse to wear masks? I live in a very liberal area, yet I see people not wearing them. People act like they're woke and pretend to care about others' well-beings, yet they can't even do something as simple as wearing a piece of fabric on their face. It makes me think that other times they've acted like they care, especially on social media, is just performative. What are your thoughts? Anyway, I love you very much. Stay safe, gals. Thanks for making us smile. I have a lot to say about this.
Have you been walking around in your neighborhood and stuff at all?
When I have to. Okay. Only when I have to. But I always wear a mask, except for that one time I forgot about it and I immediately got a mask.
You're a bad person.
Store. Okay. I have a lot to say about this because it's unfortunate that our society has a small attention span and we tend to think of things in terms of like, it's like a trend or a fad. And like these are things that blow up and then they go away really fast because of the nature of like our attention span and social media and like the news cycle and things like that. So I feel like people are like bored with the fact that there's a pandemic going on and they're like, well, we kind of did that. It's kind of like we did the mask thing and now like the mask thing is kind of over. It's like, it's not a trend and it's not a fashion thing. It's like a medical emergency. And so it's really important to fucking wear masks. I'm sorry if you feel weird or it makes you breathe funny or you smell your own breath, but just do it, please, for fuck's sake.
That. Viola has a question. Oh, wait. Did I read? Yeah. Hi, ladies. I have a conspiracy about why queens are choosing their own lipstick.
I love a conspiracy.
I think they are pretty confident that the eliminated queens will be brought back, and by voting for themselves, they don't have to worry about the drama associated with saying another queen's name, especially since who returns could be determined by jury vote like in the past. Okay, Viola. Oh. Well, I'll tell Michelle, and hopefully Rue will get back to you by the end of the day.
That's a good theory, because, I mean, it is possible that they will bring someone back, and I haven't thought of this. This hasn't come across my mind. But it's also like a lot of the girls are saying, oh, you can't give up. You have to believe in yourself. Being an all-star means believing in yourself. The thing is, an all-star
believes in themselves.
Help me sleep. I wish I would have brought white out. Ugh. Ugh. So like if you voted for yourself before, I don't know that the girls will be really excited about bringing you back, honestly.
Yeah. Like you already if said, you were like, I'm good, bye.
So I don't know. I guess we will see. I don't know if they're doing like a bring somebody back or if they bring everybody back to do like the death panel at the end. Mm-hmm. Like they did that one time with Ben de la Creme, the big red and hat.
Bitch, I love that hat so much.
You know what? This is going to put us over time, but I don't care because we skipped over this message last time and we're not skipping it again.
Oh. You want to take
it? So I'm going to go ahead and
hit it, Toots.
Since I am the faster reader of the group, I will read that. Okay. This is from Brandon. Hello, Aleka, Willem Brown Eye, and you can dip inside me anytime. Oh, I see why this one made it into the program. Okay. Uh-huh. My name is Brandon. My name is Brandon, a black man that grew up in Portland, hard to believe, huh? But currently living in Costa Rica with my husband. Recently, I have been struggling with all of the COVID and protesting news that I have been seeing all around the world. Obviously, I'm worried about my family and friends in the States, but the thing that I'm struggling with most is the sudden support that Black Lives Matter is getting. I have been marching, posting, supporting, and volunteering for Black and Brown liberation, gay rights, etc., since I've been old enough to understand the injustices that we face as a people around this world. to me, it seems a little disingenuous that all of a sudden the NFL are allowing players to take a knee. Most corporations and organizations have made statements and huge public figures just now have something to say. My question is, why do you think that people are just now seeming to give a shit about the plight of Black people when us in the Black community have literally been fighting the same fight for 401 years? Are corporations and celebrities just scared of losing money, or do you think there has truly been an awakening that this has happened? Obviously, this question is not toward you two, but I just find it a little strange that during this election season, the powers that be have been trying to create more division than ever, and I can see it clearly. Attached are some pics of my dick. First of me fucking my friend while my husband watched in Rwanda. This is the most exciting nude pics that we've ever gotten. The second is of my husband and I. And the third one is solo. And sure, why not a pic of my face so that Willem can know who I am next time I visit LA? Thanks for keeping us entertained and not only supporting, but actually putting some coins on the dresser for these important issues. Signed, a bitch that will probably never move back to the shithole that is the U.S. These are the finest pictures we've ever received.
They show verbs happening, activities. I could think of at least 50 adjectives for each. They use bright colors. They use negative space in a way that makes the image abstract but not unidentifiable. I'm just thrilled with these. The contrast, the darks, the lights.
And you know what?
The purples.
Rwanda looks like a great vacation spot, judging from this picture.
Honestly,
so
honestly,
I would say this is a deep salute.
Deep
salute, salute. I think in answer to the question, I know that Willem has completely forgot the question.
Because no, I haven't.
Seen,
I haven't.
She's
answer,
seen
actually.
The dick pics. She's seen the dick pics
and no, the okay. angles and what and where
you
it goes. My you my my. My angle on this is, yeah, a lot of people
your
have
angle.
Come around. Well, first I got to go in from the top. You know that because like you don't want to get that from that. If I don't want that to sneak up on me right there. I need to be in control of how that goes in my control.
It's an extended size member.
Oh,
it's plus size.
For sure. That's emergency row only. For sure. Yeah. And every night's an emergency in my house.
You'll need a seatbelt extender for this dick.
Put that around my throat. My answer is this. A lot of corporations and people have been assholes and shitheads. I have been. A lot of white people have been. So the fact that they're doing it now, I'm glad they're doing it. Sooner is better than never. I mean, a lot of people are figuring out that they need to do better and they're trying to do it. It sucks that it wasn't viewed as big of an issue as before, but like now people have been sitting down in their house for 3 months. They're seeing Black people get unfairly treated for things that white people haven't been doing, like these videos where people are telling Black kids to get out of a pool, a hotel lady, yet they didn't tell the white people to get out of the pool or ask for their key card, like that kind of shit. People are seeing it more. People are recording more. Technology has helped, I think, for sure, but I have no answer, and I am dickmatized, so I'm just going to put a period on the sentence right now and scroll for a moment. What do you have to say?
And as far as the corporations like now finally taking note, it is very like, what the fuck took you so long? But
it helped that they couldn't get axed for their fucking Super Bowl when Jay-Z's saying no to the NFL and when people are saying we can't do this show without actually mentioning the kids in cages and DACA and like Shakira doing that with J-Lo and stuff, like that was big. Yeah. Like they were having trouble finding artists who weren't going to use the platform without making a statement. So at this point, it's like, just give over to the right side of history, old white men that own the league, basically.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, like it or not, corporations have a lot of sway in this country. However, and I think that this has to do with the technology and social media, people are able to now be like, we're going to hit these corporations where it hurts, which is the bottom line. And sometimes that's the only way to make something like a corporation, which is based solely on finances, to make them listen, to be like, well, fine, we're going to hit you where it hurts. Our dollars as consumers have power. And so we're able to use it and we're able to like have influence by fucking influencing corporations. So it's not like the best way of it happening, but it is like the coalescence of all these things. The pandemic, the quarantine, mm-hmm. the technology, people seeing it more with their eyes because of the cameras, and people getting together via social media and mobilizing and organizing. So yeah. like it's a long time coming, and there's a long way to go still. But
that's what Brandon
I don't
said.
Know. There's a long way to go still.
I mean, speaking on that, I don't ever think it's never a great time to hit your bottom, because your bottom might hit back. But yeah, there is a line of bottoms, a bottom line that we have to draw, and just like, you know, support the movement now, no matter what, even if you didn't before. Thank you so much for listening to Hot Goss.
Goss.
You can send us your questions to
girls.
Mrs. Garrett. You can send your questions to racechaserpodcast@gmail.com.
We also have bonus video content available on patreon.com/Willem. Just search using the hashtag racechaser and you can watch the videos a la carte.
We're also on Instagram @Willem, @TheOnlyAlaska5000, and @RaceChaserPod.
The link in our bio on Instagram @RaceChaserPod has lots of places to donate money in support of the Black Lives Matter movement.
Tell me there's a link tree.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna have to check that out. Do something every day to educate yourself. Check that out. To practice anti-racist behavior, reach out to someone with resources, look for volunteer opportunities, go to a protest, wear a mask, open your purse, and donate to an organization, sign petitions, and stay educated and vigilant. This is the time to watch the news. You have to.
In case you missed our Spelling Bee live stream on Monday this week, it is still available for stream via Vimeo, and we'll continue to raise money there for folks who pay to watch it moving forward. So go to vimeo.com/ondemand/racechaserspellingbee.
And we will be back next week with more
piping,
steaming,
scalding,
boiling.
Hot Goss is a Forever Dog podcast.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Mixed and mastered by Will Pitts.
Our theme song is graciously provided by ATF Enterprises.
This Goss is hot.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.